Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination in the book of Hebrews, a letter written by an author who we do not know who he is, but definitely inspired by the Holy Spirit, written to a group of people who are believers who are Jewish in background. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, what we call internal evidence. The author quotes a lot of Old Testament, And then the things he's talking about in quoting the Old Testament and what the whole letter is about. The letter is exhorting them particularly to fix their eyes upon Jesus, not to be distracted, not to go back to the old ways, the old way of the law and that type of stuff. So anyway, we're in the second chapter right now. We covered the first four verses, in the last episode. Let me read those, and then we'll press on. It says this, "For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away." And again, he's encouraging them. He is exhorting them to be careful. To be careful about what? Well, to be careful that they pay close attention to what they've heard, not to take it for granted. And what is it they've heard? Well, we're about to say again, be reminded again. But to pay close attention to what they've heard and to not drift away from what they've heard. Verse 2, "For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also testified with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will." So what he's talking about, that which they'd heard, is the gospel message, what the Lord Jesus Christ had spoken, what he did. It was confirmed to them, to him, and to those that believed now, by those that had seen. And they testified by signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it was all according to the will of Jesus. Often when we read a passage like this, we think, well, this is what happened back then, but it doesn't really happen that way today. But folks, it does. Okay? The Holy Spirit testifies of himself in the life of every true believer. The Holy Spirit gifts us. You see that in Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 1 Peter 4. You see how the Holy Spirit moves in the life of true believers. And you'll see that some of the gifts that are listed are gifts that are miracles, that are signs, that are wonders. The reason that we don't see them is because, folks, sometimes we just simply don't believe. Okay, we simply don't believe. We want to think that was for another time and another place and that we are far more enlightened and we don't need anything like that. And this is simply not true. So let me press on. Chapter 2, verse 5 says this, "For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking." Now, we're about to get lost here, folks, in a sea of pronouns. Okay, I mean, just a whole bevy of pronouns right here. But it says this at the very beginning, "For he did not subject to angels the world to come." So it's speaking of the Father, and really of the Son too, but really of the Father. The world to come is not going to be subject to angels. What's it going to be subject to? It's going to be subject to mankind, to man. Okay, watch this. "He did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking." Verse 6. "But one has testified somewhere saying, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you are concerned about him?" So he's quoting from the Old Testament, from Psalms. And verse 7 continues to quote, "You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and have appointed him over the works of your hands." Verse 8 continues the Old Testament quote, "You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not see all things subjected to him." So it begs the question, who is the him? Well, let me read a little more, verse 9. But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Well, does that sort of answer our question? Let's back up a little bit here. I think it actually does give some insight. There's all sorts of debate among commentaries and the folks like that as to what is really being said here. We do know that man was made for a little while lower than the angels. We know that from the Psalms. So it could be speaking of man. We do know that man will rule over angels someday, okay? The author of Hebrews says this. Paul says this. Paul said it to the was it the church at Corinth. Says, don't you know that you're going to rule over angels? Okay, that type of thing. So we know that's true. But we also know the thing that said here, you made him for a little while lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and appointed him over the works of your hands. We know that man was given dominion over creation, but then he abdicated it. We know that those phrases right there are spoken of Messiah to come, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the verse 8, and you put all things in subjection under his feet. That's spoken of Jesus. Then the rest of verse 8, for in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him, but we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, Jesus. So here's sort of the idea I think that's going on. Verses 5 through 8, it's roughly speaking and is speaking of man. Okay, it's speaking of man. And yes, these passages speak of Jesus and what he's doing. But it's predominantly speaking of man. Then we get to verse 9, but, that but's important, but we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus. Now he's focusing in on Jesus. He said, we do see him who, because of the suffering of death, crowned with, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So, generally speaking, the first four verses, 5 through 8 right here, are speaking of mankind and pointing to mankind. They're also applying to Jesus because Jesus was man, but then he says, but we do see the one made for a little while lower than the angels. So not only is man made for a little while lower than the angels, but Jesus was, which only makes sense because he took on the form of his creation. He took on the form of flesh. Okay, took on the form of flesh to suffer the death, and he was crowned with glory and honor so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Now, as I said, you'll run into commentaries that believe all these passages are speaking strictly of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, that it's just him. You'll see some that think it's all man up to where it mentions and says Jesus by name, okay? I think we're seeing a lot of what's happened within the creation of mankind and what the Lord is doing through Jesus. I tell you what, I'm going to have to stop right there. If I get into the next verse, I'm going to run totally, totally out of time. Again, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Read those before you recline upon your nightbed this evening and see what the Lord says to you. Again, I'm Dale. I'll see you next time.